Good morning, everyone. I hope that you've had the opportunity to get outside and enjoy the sunshine, maybe work out in the yard a little bit, listen to the birds. It appears that spring is finally here. When Kelly and I have been able to find the time, we've been busy working outdoors ourselves, doing work around the property, and this week on my day off, we even started digging a pond out at our place so that the goose and the ducks have a place to swim and have some fun. And as I was digging the pond this week, I recall the story from back in 2003. I was working for this organization that teaches outdoor leadership skills to youth. And you know that I've probably talked about it before. I talked about my experiences in Alaska. Well, this particular week, we were stationed in North Carolina, and we were leading trips on a trail that was located at the base of a very famous road called the Dragon's Tail. If you've ever been there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It's one of the curviest roads in the world. And each week, we would receive a new batch of students. And these students would come and we'd take them out into the wilderness and give them that experience. Now, on this particular trail that we were traveling, it was very, very narrow in one portion. I mean, I'm talking like a foot and a half wide. And on your left side was essentially the hillside. And then on the right side was this sheer drop-off. And the drop-off landed in a creek down below. It was only about a 4-foot drop, so just enough to be scary. Every time we came to the section of the trail, we would stop the group and explain to the students that what they needed to do is they needed to unfasten the chest strap on their packs, and we also wanted them to unfasten the waist belt on their chest or on their packs. And the reason that we told them that they needed to do this was if they accidentally fell off the edge into the creek, they could easily just take off their pack really quick, and that would prevent them from being trapped underneath the water. So we gave them this instruction, and after the instruction, we began to traverse this portion of the trail. And it was about 10 feet into our crossing that we realized there was a bit of a rebel in the group. We had this boy who didn't really like to listen to instructions. And in the middle of crossing, he turns around to flirt and tease a girl on the back, walking behind him. And he ends up stepping right off the edge. And it was kind of one of those things where you see in the movie where it's like you see it in slow motion and he's like, no, and he's falling and he reaches for the girl and she jerks back against the hillside and down he goes. Now, wouldn't you know it? As he was falling, I'm just a few people behind him. I noticed that his chest strap and his waist strap are still buckled. Down he goes. He ends up landing on his back, but fortunately his pack broke his fall, so he wasn't injured. Thank God for that. But there was one problem. The water that he fell into was just deep enough that it was flowing over top of his head and his body. The weight of the pack, along with the power of the water, was holding him under. No matter how much he struggled, he couldn't get free. It all happened so fast. The other leader and I, Nate, we tore off our packs. We jumped down the embankment, down into the water. We undid his waist belt and his chest belt, and we pulled him up out of the water. He was in shock, naturally. He was gasping for air, but he was okay. See, the power of the water combined with the weight of the pack was the perfect recipe to ruin this kid's day. Now, if the kid had just undone his chest strap and his waist strap, the water would have lost its ability to hold him under. See, he could have just thrown off his pack and stood up. That's the reason we gave him the instruction that we did. But he didn't instruct him, he didn't trust us in what we instructed him to do. And so the water was able to exercise its power and hold him under. Had we not been there, who knows what could have happened. But I fear it wouldn't have been the best outcome. So as I was digging the pond, I was thinking about this story, and I was thinking about how perhaps this is a useful metaphor for us this morning as we look at Psalm 23. You know, I wonder how often in my own life have I been this kid? Times when I didn't trust and follow God, and because I didn't trust and follow the leader, something was able to hold me prisoner and had power over my life. I'll confess to you, I'm guilty of this more times than I'd like to admit. Although I would suspect that there are times when we all do this same kind of thing. So why do we do this? Why do we not trust the one who loves us more than anything and has our best interest at heart? I would guess that this is a question that we should all ask ourselves, but I also think that the answer is something that might be unique for each one of us, whether it was an experience we had with someone in leadership as a child or up into college or whatever it was in our lives. We all have a reason where we struggle to follow the person that desires to lead our life, to follow God. You know, I believe from what I've studied in Scripture that King David also wrestled with questions like this. There were times when he really trusted God. And there were times when instead he let the power of an external force hold him under. If you want details on this portion of David's life, just see the story of Bathsheba. In the Psalms, David did a marvelous job of expressing his struggle, but also his love for God with really raw and real emotion and honesty. When we read Psalm 23, this psalm is really no exception. However, I would suspect that David wrote this one on a good day. See, the entirety of the psalm is about trusting God. It's about being released from the things that hold power over us. In the rest of the psalm, David paints this picture for us about what life could be like when we trust in God's love and leading for us. See, the psalm starts out with these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or in some translations it says, I shall not want. Now, conceptually, I think it's easy for us to understand the meaning of the first line of this verse. The Lord is our compassionate and loving leader, right? Some of you might recall a few years ago that I preached a sermon that was just on the Lord as shepherd. We preachers probably tend to put more emphasis on the first part of this verse than we do on the second. But what I've discovered is that the second half to me is like buried treasure. So I'd like to take some time this morning to just focus our energies in and look at that second part. Now, before we get into a closer examination, I've always thought over the years that the phrase, I lack nothing, was referencing that God meets or is going to meet all of our physical needs. Essentially, food, water, shelter, clothing, we would have all that we need. And perhaps in hearing the verse this morning or other times before, you've thought the same thing. But it turns out that when we study the Hebrew word that's used here, this is not actually the case. The Hebrew word used here is the word chaser. Now, chaser is the exact same word that is used to describe the state of the floodwaters on the earth following Noah's flood in Genesis 8. As the floodwaters receded, they decreased, they diminished, they retreated, they no longer held power. See, the floodwaters were the barrier that kept the earth imprisoned, and Noah and his family trapped on the boat. As the flood waters chasered, the earth and Noah were freed to become what God had wanted them to become. The rainbow, of course, was God's promise to them. Never will I allow this water to have the same power over you again. So to lack nothing in Psalm 23 is not necessarily about having our needs met or having everything that we want, but instead about being released, about being set free. Trusting God affords us the opportunity to become that which He made us to be. See, we're set free from the things in the world that hold power over us, the things that hold us under water, that keep us drowning. God is releasing us from the things that hold us prisoner. Which, by the way, if you look at Scripture, this is a theme all throughout. For instance, in Isaiah 61:1, which Jesus ends up quoting later on in Luke 4:18 as his mission to set free the captives. So, like the kid that walked off the edge of the trail and fell into the water, the reality is that it's difficult in life for us to avoid situations where we find ourselves feeling trapped and gasping for air. There are things that are currently in our lives now, and things that will probably come into our lives in the future that are going to use all of their power to trap us and hold us. But we do have a choice. Now, here's the thing. The choice won't necessarily eliminate the possibility of the fall or won't necessarily get rid of the power of the water, but it will give us a way out. We have a choice to trust our leader's guidance, to trust God. And when we trust God, we're given the opportunity to be set free from that which desires to hold us under, to trap us, to drown us. And this is the very thing that David is expressing when he says that I lack nothing. It means that he's been given freedom. God promises us the freedom that we long for if we just keep trusting him. To close our time of learning this morning, I'd like to just invite you to join me in this prayer. I've written this prayer based off of Psalm 23, and I think and I hope that the language is helpful to you in understanding David's words as they apply to our lives now. Let's pray. I trust you, Lord. You set me free. You give me rest and peace, and you fill my soul with new life. God is your beloved child. You guide me in the right direction. Even though I find myself in dark places, I will not fear or despair because you will guide me through. In your guidance, I find comfort. God, you sit me among my enemies and you prepare a reconciling meal. You bless me and you fill me with your hope. There is no doubt that your goodness and your love will be with me in every situation and every aspect of my life. God, I never have to worry about you not being there in this life or the next. Amen.